Good evening, everybody. Stewman here, the Four Outdoorsmen. The boys are here. Sam's here. Mark's here. Brandon is here behind the glass. And it's I tell you, we just got done listening to Bryce Hagee. He was here with, I don't know, three other guys, and Mike is one of the guys' dads. This kid is very, very talented. If you guys get a chance, I know you like our show. Thank you. If you're there listening, tune into the Homegrown show before this show and listen to some of the local talent. It is well worth it. And Bryce Hagee is the real deal. I'm impressed with that kid. So, Brandon, thanks for getting all those young guys and ladies on the show for us to listen to.
It's my pleasure to do it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Marky boy, Sam, what's going on, gentlemen?
Well, first I want to say Happy New Year and Merry Christmas to both of you. It's been a month since we've all been together, it seems like.
Sam's traveling. He's a traveling man. Made a lot of stops.
But hope everyone survived the cold. It's going to warm up for a trip, hopefully, to Ely tomorrow. We're really excited about that. I've never caught a lake trout in my life. That's kind of embarrassing as a fisherman to admit something like that. Like, I've never caught a muskie.
So you've never gone on Lake Michigan or one of those charter boats or
I never have. Yeah. I've tried it in Canada. My dad and I, you know, tried the really deep trolling kind of thing, but never was successful. But so we kind of half butt attempted it. But I'm excited to do this trip, and I'm pumped. Let's do it.
We're going to talk a little bit about that when Steve Foss is on at 6:20. He lives up in the general area. He's been guiding a long, long time. He's been going to Trout Lake, which is just north of Lake Vermilion, not too far from the Polish Palace. And as it's the Boundary Waters. It's easily accessible to the Boundary Waters. He's been going up there for 19 years to that lake, he said. So if anybody can catch us a lake trout up there, it's going to be Steve Foss.
We'll get into your trip, Sam. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Congratulations on moving into your new place.
Yeah.
I know that you guys are really excited about that.
Oh, yeah. We're pumped. And, yeah, I appreciate it. It's been a long journey. We started this back in March. It feels good, too. We moved in Thursday. I slept horrible because I felt like I was in a hotel. But I slept fantastic last night, and so I feel like it is now home. And Kirsten and I were at a party at her aunt's last night, and Kirsten's like, oh my gosh, like we're going the wrong way home. It's like, no, we're going the right way. This is where we live now.
You're talking about, oh, it's been a long road. We've been going through this since March. That's nothing. A good friend of mine that I play softball with is building a new home in Lake Elmo, and it will not be done until probably August, they said.
Jeez.
Just because of supplies, if nothing else.
Yeah, it's bad, man. Yeah, an interesting time to build, but you know what? I thank the good Lord because we're in, got a few nights under our belt. And
boy, you know, there's so much. Moving sucks. You know,
yeah,
it's moving sucks. And you got four kids and all that kind of good stuff happening. I just can't picture I'm going to die in our home, or my kids are going to put us in a little nursing home, and I'll bother all the old people over there. But it sucks.
It's true. You're right. I saw this video that says, I don't know why we put criminals in prison. We should put them into a moving company because it's horrible.
Yeah, it is.
I firmly believe that moving brings out the worst in everybody.
Yeah.
And I want to say this right now for all of the listeners. My wife busted her butt, and she probably did 96% of it. And, I mean, while I was in Louisiana, she got a trailer, got my brother-in-law's, and emptied our storage unit. That woman has busted her butt. Yeah. While I was away with four kids, man, I honestly can't thank her enough.
No, you mentioned Louisiana. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, you're a young guy, but I saw a meme the other day that if you're over 40, hire a moving company because no one wants to slip their back for two beers and a pizza.
Right. Well, you're right.
Thanks to Mark, too, for helping out, and thanks for Strew for saying you'd help out. Sorry, I didn't call you.
I got lucky.
It's all good.
I don't answer this phone. You talked about Louisiana. You were there. You missed the show we had a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know why you were down there, but Mark said it was okay. So if he said it was okay, it's okay. What was happening in Louisiana?
Well, it was our end of the year work meeting, going over 2022 stuff, kind of closing out 2021. And while we were down there, we're staying at a lease that we have just north of Monroe, or if you're down there, it's Monroe. Monroe, Louisiana.
Didn't know that.
How do they say Louisiana? Is it normal?
I don't know. I was going to try and think of something really cool.
I know it's Missouri. Boomer LZ said Missouri.
How do they say Caribbean? Is it Caribbean or Caribbean? Yeah.
But anyway, we have this huge lease, like a gigantic lease, and it is the the end destination for pretty much every North American duck and goose. Any species. They've shot 12 species of ducks on this lease. The different types of geese. It's insane. So we got the work stuff out of the way, and we got to hunt for a couple mornings.
So your company, talk about your company leases land.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can be heard. Go ahead,
yeah,
Sam.
Yeah, no, okay, I think there was a little cutout there.
All right.
But anyway, no, yeah, we're good. Yeah, it's 15,000 acres.
So that. this was not an end of the season work meeting. It was an end of the season. Let's have a good time and shoot some birds.
Yeah. we definitely did some work stuff. But I tell you what, you know,
tell us how you slept.
Oh gosh, did you hear this, Drew?
I did not.
All right, good. Drew loves not hearing stories like off air. He loves hearing them on air. So
I do.
I'm really glad that he doesn't know this. Thanks for bringing this up, Mark. So first night, I slept okay. First of all, for those who don't know, I'm a little over 6 foot six. I'm 340 some pounds, like, and I slept on a twin bed that ended about 2 inches below my knee. To start that off, there was a closet at the end, and I had to open up the closet door so I could put my feet into it. I am not joking.
That's funny.
And I propped up my suitcase with my hoodie over it so I could extend my bed. But it sucked when I moved because I wasn't smart. I put the wheels down so it would roll around. But whatever.
You're getting limbered up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, exactly. I sleep small. No, I don't. But anyway, yeah, so first night's great, right? There's gators, right, in this pond. This is the first thing, and I'm like, okay, this is Louisiana, you know, or it's okay, and I'm expecting that. And get out to the blind, there's cottonmouths, they call them, you know, like water moccasins, they're the same thing. There's three of them in there.
Tell him what he said when he's like, hold on a second.
Yeah, they like shy in the blinds to see, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, that's like panicky for me. And I'm like, I was just going to get in there. Like, but, and they were saying too, it's like, it's cold at the time of the year, but they wouldn't do anything, but still it's a little uneasy for me. But the worst of the worst was I can deal with the gators. I can deal with the stakes at a distance. It got really cold in Louisiana. It went from like 60 some degrees and it dropped. It plummeted like 25, 30 degrees. Probably actually it was 30. Yeah. Maybe 25, 30, but the wind was howling. Like, knock your shutters off your front, howling. And we're in the middle of this 15,000 acres. So you're surrounded by farm, you know, farmland. We couldn't even drive the trucks to the house. We had to stop 2-3 miles prior, get off, load all our stuff onto these buggies, which are a four-wheeler up here, and drive through the craziest mud you have ever seen in your life. It doesn't, like, it's not mud. It's like the nastiest clay. Like, you got your 18-inch four-wheeler tire. You had to stop because that tire kept getting bigger and bigger and fill the wheel well. You had to, like, get out. It was just insane. You'd step out and you'd lift your boot up and you'd have 3 inches of solid mud.
Any videos? I heard all about this before.
Yeah,
you got some videos? That'd be cool
to
see. Yeah.
And so anyway, so it gets cold, right? And I'm walking into my bed and all of a sudden, you know, there's a handful of mice that run underneath my bed. I'm like, oh gosh, like, it's like a tick. You see one tick, you're itching all night.
Anytime you hear a noise.
That's all I can think about.
Hey, can we finish this one? No, because someone just called in apparently.
Sure.
Can we finish this?
Here we go.
Who do we have? Who do we have on the air? Who is this?
Oh, hey there.
Hey there. Who is it? This is Thane Jensen. Thane Jensen. Chris? I had Thane Jensen call just to give Mark some sass. Thane, where are you right now?
Well, you know, it's true. I appreciate the call. Thanks for reaching out. Clam Outdoors here in Traeger Grills, and I'm standing right in front of Lambeau Field, the place they call the Frozen Tundra. I actually just ran into this guy. It's kind of the craziest thing. It's Tony Lombardi. You know, Vince's great nephew here. He wanted to say hey to Mr. Lukey.
Hey, Tony, how are you?
Well, is Mark the producer around? I'd just like to say hi to Mark and tell him thanks for, being such a good Packers supporter. I'm sure my great-great uncle would have been proud.
That's funny.
I just want to let him know that you know, we wish you were here, buddy. This is quite the place.
I wish I was there, too. That's like my Graceland. I want to go there. How much are the Packers going to beat the Vikings tonight?
Tonight, it's going to be a blowout. It's going to be 37-6 is my prediction.
That sounds good to me, man. Sounds good to me.
Oh, your first name is Tony, right? You said Tony?
Tony, yeah.
Tony, I'll tell you what. I got – give me 16 points. I'll bet you $10.
I can do that.
All right.
And Thane I will make that sure that Thane coordinates it all.
All right.
And you just keep Strew honest.
All right. I got the Vikings plus 16. All right, buddy.
Vikings
listen, you guys
plus 16, buddy.
You guys have some fun, and it'll be a $10 bet. I just wanted Thane to call in. You guys have a fun time.
That sounds fun.
Good for Clam and good for Traeger. They're both great companies. Have fun, be safe, and enjoy the game.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thane. Take care, buddy. Do you know who he is?
Tony Lambeau or Thane Jensen? I know Thane Jensen.
No, that was Lombardi.
Or Lombardi, yeah. Lombardi Trophy. I'm assuming they were pulling one over on me.
No, I thought maybe you knew who he was, but you did not know who he was.
Right. I thought it was serious.
Anyway, I keep finishing your story about the
mice.
Was
that really?
That was Thane. I don't know. We're going to find out. We'll find out later on. I'll text Thane. But tell us the rest of the story about your mice down in Louisiana.
You know, so a bunch of mice run under the bed. And like I said, you just think about it all night. Well, the worst was we had a bunch of bags of chips on the kitchen counter, and all the lights were on. That's what really blows my mind. And we get up, and, you know, you see, like, a mouse get into something. They, like, chew off, like, a half inch, you know, and get in and eat it, just eat a little bit. Well, on a regular, like, Doritos bag, about a fifth of the bag on the corner was eaten off, and all of the chips were gone. And there was a couple pieces, looked like black jelly beans, and it was a freaking rat.
Yeah.
Did you actually physically see the rat?
I didn't, thankfully. But I was like, okay.
You know, we talked about
not here anymore.
We talk about the Polish Palace Lawn Shack on Mud Creek Road in Ely sometimes, and a good friend of ours, Rick Langevin. My wife loves him dearly. He's a good guy. He's down in Florida right now. I just moved down there about 5 or 6 months ago. But he went hunting with me many times at the cabin. One time, he finally convinced his wife, not married at that time, I mean, not kids at the time, to go to the hunting shack and spend a couple of nights. And Big Rick is there, and he hears a mouse rustling in the something or other, and he turns the light on, and the mouse climbs out of, like, a box of cereal and puts a little paws on the edge of the box and looks over the top, you know, and went down to the box. Rick and his wife packed up and went to a hotel in Virginia, Minnesota for one mouse. Big Rick. Go ahead, Mark.
I don't think I could handle a rat, but mice I'm used to. My first house was a college house. It was built in, like, 1890 at the U of M. And we had so many mice, and I lived in the basement. They would run above my head back and forth because we just had a styrofoam ceiling. I literally had to stand in my bed, punch the ceiling, and you could hear the mouse poop go up and down. Oh. And I would have to fall asleep before they started running again.
Yeah.
So I'd stand up, punch the ceiling, they would stop running, and then I'd try to fall asleep.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Well, my gorgeous wife, Diana, was first married and lived in West St. Paul. She lived in her ex-husband's parents' home or grandparents' home. And her ex-husband, Nick, was a great contractor and did a lot of renovating. So they lived there, but it's an old, old two-story, and Diana would go down the basement, you know, and do the laundry and whatnot, an unfinished basement. And for some reason, the drain cover was off the drain, the trap for the floor, whatever. And she's doing laundry, and a rat came up through that drain and ran right between her legs. She told her husband, I'm out of here. You call me after this thing is exterminated. And she went and stayed with her mom for about a week or so. She wasn't going back in that place, boy.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, they found the rat also, maybe a different one, upstairs, and it ran in the closet. They had a cat at the time. Go get it. The cat went in the closet and came right back out. And screw you folks, man. I want nothing. And when a cat doesn't want to screw on with a rat, you don't want to be there. That's
like they said, like, Louisiana rats are like the cream of the crop for the rat breed. They can get as big as cats.
Yeah. Mark,
no thanks.
You got a couple shout-outs, Mark?
Yeah, we have a bunch of shout-outs. Thanks, everyone, for writing in. It's been a while since we've done a live show, so it's good to hear from everybody. If you want to be on the 4 Outdoorsman shout-out, just check our Facebook page, The Number 4 Outdoorsman, and comment on that picture, and we'll read it on air. We got a bunch here. We'll try to get through them. Twin Cities Walleyes Unlimited says, Happy New Year's, everyone. Looking forward to our monthly meeting Thursday night, information at tcwalleyes.com. Shannon Cruz said, I set up this father-son duo to start ice fishing this year. Congratulations, Shannon. Craig Rudolph Jr. says, spent some time with my son Friday before the cold front. Caught a few nice ones. Our friend Steve Renneberg, who we're going to see tomorrow, says, making lake trout jigs for Tuesday. Can't wait to go, guys. He's making us jigs. That's awesome. And Josh Flick, F-L-I-C-E-K, says, yes, some late season pheasant hunting. So
really?
Thank you, everyone, for shouting out. And do it next week.
Where can you pheasant hunt right now? You can still pheasant hunt in Minnesota.
I know Kansas is open through January. We usually film the flush episodes in late Kansas, late episodes in Kansas. I think that might be the only out west you can, basically. Do you know?
I think the Adam Farms.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, you can preserves or whatever.
So I took some advice from our guest the other day, Will Goble. He showed me a spot I wanted to take Nick out ice fishing.
Yeah.
This was before the cold front. And so we had a nice spot. We went out to White Bear and started walking on the ice. And I heard the pop, the crack, the thump.
Yeah.
And I kept walking. And I know all the safety rules. We've had plenty of people on the show. And so I kept drilling holes. It was 6 inches of ice. So I'm like, I know it's safe.
Right.
But you know what? Nick was not having a good time. I was nervous. And maybe if I was with another adult, I would have just went for it. But every step was like pop, crack. And then there was a clear patch. And, you know, you can see the – oh, it just makes me nervous, man. So we ended up going to a smaller lake, but I gave it a shot.
And did you catch anything on the smaller lake?
We caught some perch. We didn't move around a lot because Nick was still a little bit nervous. So – we just went out to where we felt safe, drilled some holes, and we caught some perch. It's like basically wanted to test out Sam's hub house that he sold to me, which was awesome. It's huge. I can't believe how big that thing is.
It's got to be. What do you think I'm going to go on a little
cracker box? It's not easy to haul around, but it is really nice once you set it up.
It's worth it with the family.
Did either of you boys see me on TV last night?
We did not, but how did it go?
I was at Target Field for the Wild St. Louis hockey game, and I work for the Twins, and there's, you know, the 38,000 people there. There's nothing you can do. Once you get them all into the ballpark, it's like going to some kind of a rock concert, and they're all doing their thing. There's nothing you can do. If they could have started a riot, and I would have just hid in the bathroom. but it was a cool experience. Colder than a son of a gun. It was as cold as predicted, and I don't care what you have on. It doesn't do a whole lot of good unless you have the electric suits like I got from Pneuma. That's P-N-U-M-A. It's a company out of northern Minnesota. And Sam gave me a electric vest and their battery packs and pants to wear. And it worked. It made all the world of difference for me. So you have to be concerned about. But people came in with electric gloves, electric socks, electric. So when you're doing the scanning, everything's beeping off. I said, hey, go on. You're through. I'm not going to check. Just drink all the booze you got in your pockets, will you? But but it was a cool experience. It really was. But at 38,000 people at 10 degrees below zero, it's a tough gig, boy.
It is. Yeah. And like you said, it's like a rock concert. I mean, what are you going to do? Like, and the beer is probably flowing.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I tell you what, I cleaned up. You don't clean up, but I have to go look at the stands after they're done, my area, to make sure no one left a billfold or a credit card or something like that. And Fireball was the drink of choice last night. Fireball was number one.
Oh, yeah. I was telling my wife it's going to be super cold tonight at Lambeau, right? But there's going to be still some stupid Green Bay Packer drunk idiots who are going to be shirtless.
Oh, definitely.
We'll be right back. We got Steve Foss from the Ely, Minnesota area. We're going to talk about lake trout and a lot of other things.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to the Four Outdoorsmen anytime.
It's no secret that we love the city of Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Not just the thrill that comes with its unbelievable hunting and fishing, but everything that Devil's Lake has to offer. You can choose from nearly 30 restaurants, many hotel and motel options, a dozen campsites, theater, golfing, hiking, nearby casino, or just plain exploring. Walleyes and jumbo perks, well, they might draw you here, but Devil's Lake itself will keep you coming back. Hey, trust through me on this one. Visit devilslakend.com.
Clam Outdoors has something for every ice angler. Dave Gens created the original fish trap 40 years ago, and Clam continues to lead the industry with portable sled style and hub shelters today. Beyond ice shelters, Clam continues to bring new innovation and products to the sport. From ice fishing suits, cold weather gear, tackle, fishing line, accessories, rods, reels, and combos, and much more to add to your ice fishing arsenal. Check out the full line of ice fishing gear at clamoutdoors.com. Pursue the ice.
Tired of losing your valuables down the ice fishing hole? Our friend Bill Katz with BK Outdoors LLC has the most simple, affordable solution on the market. Katz covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. Made in Minnesota, a veteran-owned company, you can order yours directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now.
Arrowhead Outdoors in Ely, Minnesota, a symbiotic relationship. I've patronized both for many years, and I'm going to do so for a lot more. The Minnesota State Northern Pike record was caught right here, and Chris and Steve have day-use fish houses for you to catch those pike, walleyes, crappie, or trout. No one in Ely, Minnesota carries more trout tackle and equipment than Arrowhead Outdoors. Experience the winter wonderland of Ely by starting with, trust Truman on this one, Arrowhead Outdoors.
Power Lodge and only Power Lodge has teamed up with Financial One for an incredible winter marine sales event. Pick out a qualifying boat or pontoon and there's no payments and free storage until April 2022. Let's get this straight. Pick out a boat now, no payments and free storage until April 2022. Make next summer incredible for you and your family. Go to Power Lodge right now in Ramsey, Brainerd, or Onamia, online at powerlodge.com.
Save over 60% on your 2022 resort vacation. Get $500 vouchers to Hideaway Bay Resort for just $199. Only on DealsOnRadio.com.
Deals on Radio. Deals on Radio.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using GetUpside, the free gas app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the GetUpside app?
Yes, up to 25 cents a gallon. Cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
Some months I make 200 to 300 bucks.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free GetUpside app now.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents a gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code FREE for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents a gallon on your next fill up. You can cash out anytime to PayPal or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code FREE for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code FREE.
Country Bob FM. Hey, we're back. Stu Man here. Mark Lukey, Sam Offadall. I've got a cold. No, I don't have a cold.
What?
Let's get right to it, buddy. Let's get right to Steve Foss. Foss. Hey, Steve, can you hear me, my friend?
I can hear you quite well, and Happy New Year, guys.
Same to you.
Happy New Year.
Same to you. As a matter of fact, you sound really, really good. A couple of weeks ago when we had our last live broadcast, we had some issues, but Brandon, the engineer, must have done something, right? Because you sound like, man, like you sound
crystal
like
crystal clear.
Like you're
what
about,
a genius that Brandon is.
Sound like you're about 6'3", 210 pounds, and look like Superman or something, but you sound good. Steve Foss, where are you from, Steve? Where were you born?
Oh, I was born in La Crosse, Wisconsin in the Lombardi era, so I'm kind of waiting on the Vikings-Packers tonight, too.
I hear you, brother. I hear you.
Who are you going for?
I think I just lost $10, by the way, but...
Oh, well, there, you know, where I was born and when, there's no other way that was going to turn out. So.
Hey, you know what? I've only been down to La Crosse a couple of times, and the first time I was down there 15 years ago, I went down to watch a friend of mine race ARCO, which is a one step below NASCAR, one of those things like AAA of racers. And I didn't realize that they had a nice racetrack down there in La Crosse, and they had the final race, the big playoffs, ARCO, down in La Crosse, and it was really, really cool experience. And I'll tell you what, the fans down there are crazy. And we got to get to the trout fishing. I understand that. But so they said, if you want to get a good seat, you have to get there. The gates open up at noon. You got to get there at 9 o'clock. and get in line. Because when they open the gate, get out of the way. People run, and they have bleachers and benches there. And you have to throw a blanket or something on where you want to sit. And they have to light up a cigarette because it's like you almost just had sex. It's gratifying to find a place. And we literally saw two ladies get knocked over when they opened the gates, and people stepping over them to get to a decent place to sit at the racetrack. I said, this is crazy. It's like going to a wrestling match. But
that's just welcome to lacrosse.
That's 12 months out of the year, huh? Steve, now you're born and raised in La Crosse, Wisconsin. You're going to be able to. It's nice for you to take Mark and Bob Krejci, a friend of ours, and me and Steve from Arrowhead is going to join us as well. We're going to go do some lake trout fishing. How did you get involved in being so addicted to lake trout?
Well, 19 years ago, almost to the day, I'd been one of the editors at the Duluth News Tribune. I was a journalist. And I innocently made a lake trout ice fishing trip, my first one up to Ely on the lake trout opener, and I ended up catching five. Then I was instantly addicted. It was just so incredible. And so I moved up here 2 months later, and that was that.
So has this been your full-time – now, is this your full-time job? I know you guide, and I know you're busy. You guide almost every day you possibly can all year long. You don't just guide in the winter. You guide in the summer as well, right?
I do. I guide winter and summer both. I'm also a photographer. Started with nature, and now I do a lot of all-purpose type photography, you know, jobs. But you know, lake trout became a passion. It was just addicting. As powerful and as nuts as those fish are.
I tell you, I've only caught maybe two lake trout. It was up in maybe it was Rainy Lake or someplace up there with Tom Baddock, our next guest as well, and that was in the summer. So I have no idea what to expect. One of the things I know I read about you is that, and Steve Renneberg from Arrowhead Outdoors was nice enough to share some information, that you have designed and built a couple of trout fishing rods. I didn't know there was such a thing specifically as a fishing rod specifically for trout.
Well, you know the industry. There's a fishing rod specifically for everything now.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't do it, you know, it wasn't all my own. I consulted on a couple of different designs and, you know, had input on rod length and action and, you know, the rod buttons and the guides and all that kind of stuff. You know, you've got to have a combination of length and you got to have a good stiff butt, but it's got to be limber enough to bend because you got to keep a good bend in that rod.
All right, so what is the big difference between a really good trout rod and a really good walleye rod? It seems to me like they're both about comparable. About you can catch a 10 or 12 pound walleye maybe once in a great while. 5 and 6 pound walleyes, yeah, you can do that. How about lake trout? Aren't they about the same size as a regular walleye?
Well, trout up around here, you know, we're on the southern edge of the lake trout range. It's not really trophy country. You got to kind of get up on the border in north to get the really, really big girls. But 2 to 12 is about an average range up here. And my biggest around Ely is 21.5. So, you know, a walleye rod might be a medium action. You might be running 6 or 8 pound line on them. And a lake trout rod will be a medium heavy. And we're running 12 to 14 on those. And they tend to be longer. Trout have really, really hard mouths. It's tough to get a hook all the way in. So you've got to be able to keep a tight line, and they shake their heads and they thrash when they fight. So that rod just keeps coming and going and coming and going, and if it's too stiff, you're going to get slack line. That, you know, the hook's going to pop right out. So, and I like a slow action. I like to bend all the way through the rod.
Could be fun, yeah.
Well, Steve, Mark here. I'm terribly excited to meet you and fish for lake trout. It's something that's been on my bucket list. I've yet to catch one, even though I've fished my entire life. In the summer when we, you know, made a poor attempt to it, you know, they tend to be suspended. Are lake trout suspended just swimming in the middle of the column in deep water in the winter as well, or are they on the bottom?
No, and lake trout, they can suspend in the summer, but they do tend to be structure-oriented, just somewhat deeper structure. They're cold water species. They want low 50s or colder. So in the winter, they literally own the whole water column. And they're much more structure-oriented even in winter. And, you know, a trout can be in 5 feet of water in the winter if there's food because the water's cold enough. And, you know, they'll come blasting up out of 60 feet of water so fast you can barely see them on your electronics. You know, I've got trout hit right in the hole before. It's incredible how how fast they move and how, you know, all the way up and down the water column they're going to chase your lure.
I've only been on Trout Lake a couple of times when I took my family to the Boundary Waters. Boy, we've got some stories about that. Trout Lake, you and I talked about it a little bit when I was in Ely about a month ago or so. In the summer, it can be a nasty, dangerous body of water. And we were taking canoes from south to north going up to trying to get to Pine Lake, and we screwed everything up, and my son broke a paddle, and, oh, man, we just had to camp out for a while because we weren't going anyplace. It's a big body of water.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you know, it's 7,500 acres, but there's not a lot of narrows and islands. You know, most of it is a big wide open basin. So when the waves start going, they got a ways to run and get big up there.
But see, now this is Trout Lake is just north of Vermilion. We're going to go about 4 or 5 miles from I forget the name of the resort at the end of Mud Creek Road, probably, and go west to Truck Lake. There's a truck portage that takes people into Trout Lake in the summer. That's about 4 or 5 yeah. miles. Can we take the, once we get there and we leave our four-wheelers, and providing we make it, we can leave our four-wheelers there. Do we actually then hike into Trout Lake, or do we take the four-wheelers to the other end of the portage?
No, you can take it about halfway in before you hit the wilderness line, and then you walk from there. So we'll be, you know, you can run backpacks, but most guys pull light tote sleds, you know, and you strip down. I mean, you obviously got to wear warm enough clothes because you're out in the open pretty much all day, and, you know, you got a couple 3-mile walk in a lot of cases. So, you know, light is better than a lot of gear.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait a minute.
How many miles was that?
No, we're not going to go 3 miles.
You said a third of a mile?
No. You said we got a couple of guys.
I probably better not say.
Yeah. I keep telling Mr. Lukey, it's the journey, not the destination. Don't worry about it, Mark. You know,
I can walk to the fridge.
Yeah. Mark will be like John Candy. He'll be like John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. He's going to drive you crazy. No, he's a good guy, and we're going to be all set. What is the key to catching trout? How do you determine how deep you're going to go? Because you're going to go out there with augers, and they're only hand augers, right? There's no power augers whatsoever, correct?
Yeah, you know, and if you want to get really old school, you can bring a hammer and a chisel. I don't recommend it.
Yeah, when I was a kid, my old man had one of those big old chisels, and he just kept chopping and chopping and chopping until you found water. Boy, that's crazy.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Well, you know, you got to experiment with depths for lake trout because, again, they – you know, in the winter, they'll be in India, that's the water, wherever the food is. So one day they might be in 10 feet, another day they might be in 70 feet. So we try to cover structure that, you know, that has break lines and main lake points and humps and things like that, where you can get a variety of depths without moving very much. We tend to park on a big piece of structure basically throughout the day and then drill holes in many different depths and just kind of hop around until we see where the fish are at.
Steve, Mark here again. So you have hand augers. What do you do, you know, when it's February and the ice is 3 feet thick? You're just cranking all day or what?
I don't go into the Boundary Waters then because the main inland lake trout season opens on the 15th, and I don't guide in the Boundary Waters. You know, I'm not guiding clients in there. So it's something I've been doing for the better part of 20 years, and I like to make a couple trips in the first couple of weeks of January, you know, because it's its own thing. It's, you know, it's not motorized, and it's there's solitude, and it's a good tune-up for the main season. And then, you know, I might be going 7-8 days in a row without a break, you know, and when January 15th rolls around till the end of March. But, you know, and when the main inland season opens, we're driving pickups on lakes, and, you know, we're taking, you know, UTVs and snowmobiles and, you know, that kind of thing, and it's all motorized.
I remember when I first started ice fishing, I took a trip to Leech Lake with a friend, and it was probably February, and I just had a hand auger. We drilled one hole. It took us about 2 hours, and we did not move from that one spot for the rest of the weekend because we did not want to drill another hole.
You kind of make a commitment when you're trying to hand drill through, you know, 36 inches of ice.
Yep, we did one. We both could barely breathe, and we spent 2 days staring at the same hole without catching fish because we didn't want to drill another hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was one time that I decided to touch up my auger blade the night before we walked into the Boundary Waters, and that was a mistake. It was one of those lasers with the really touchy blades, and I flubbed it up, and I think we spent probably 10 minutes drilling our first hole through 16 inches of ice. I think we got three holes, and, you know, that was it. We were laying on the ice after that.
Now, Steve, you mentioned that the first time you actually went lake trout fishing was about 19 years ago. You've been fishing for a long time prior to that, obviously. Otherwise, you wouldn't be interested. But how did you start fishing yourself? Who was your mentor when you were growing up?
I guess my stepdad became my fishing mentor. My first fishing memory is from my daddy when I was 4 or 5 years old. I caught a pike on under a bobber on a night crawler, and that kind of was it. And my daddy died when I was not much older than that. And then, you know, my mom remarried, and we got a new stepdad, and he more or less got me into fishing in a very stable and regular way, and we just kept fishing, and I couldn't get enough of it. Still can't.
Good for you. Is your stepdad still alive?
He is. He's retired now.
So do you ever?
He's on the other end of the Vikings-Packers rivalry, unfortunately.
So do you ever get a chance to go fishing with him still?
Once in a while. He's got a lake place north of Bemidji that, you know, it's the family lake cabin. And, you know, I'm so busy in the summer that it's harder to get out there now. But I try to whenever I can. It's just, you know, he's had that place since 83, so it's really a tradition in the family now.
Steve, when you're fishing in the summer, do you like to target a particular species, or are you all over the board when you're guiding clients?
Well, yeah, I do a few different things. Obviously, we can just target lake trout, and in the summer, they're deeper. They're deeper than other species because you got to get down below the thermocline, you know, to get into low 50-degree water. So we're trolling with downriggers, or we're deep vertical jigging, and then, you know, I'll do other species as well, of course. You know, yeah. Somebody wants smallmouth, we'll target those, and, you know, we've guided for walleyes and trophy pike as well. So kind of run the whole gamut.
We're talking with Steve Foss from Ely, Minnesota. He's taken Mark and me and my buddy Bob up to Trout Lake on Tuesday to try to catch a couple of lake trout. Steve, I'm excited about this. I don't know anything about trout fishing as well, so I'm glad that you got the gear. We got walleye stuff. We have panfish stuff, but I don't know anything about fishing for lake trout. I'm excited about that. When you go ahead.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I might just ruin you after, you know, you're probably all 40 years old, I bet, right?
I'm 70. I'm 40.
Yeah, well, even at this late date, you know, if you get addicted to lake trout, you'll be ruined for crappies and walleyes.
You know what?
It won't be the same.
And I've heard this before, and it's the same thing about turkey hunting. People have told me if you do it once, you're hooked. And I don't have enough time to get hooked on any other things, but I heard that before, and I hope I get hooked because I've got friends like you that'll take me. And as a matter of fact, people having guides like you is critical in a business like this, especially winter, because we don't know where to go. You know, and there's a lot of water out there, and we don't know the techniques and all of that, so it's good to have you along. Is there a particular name of your business, or are you just Steve Foss?
Steve Foss Guide Service. You can find me on Facebook under that name, and I'm at fossguide.com on the website, and then just, you know, my cell phone never leaves my side.
Yeah. Steve, tell us about the book. I know you wrote a book all about trout fishing as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it wasn't about trout fishing. It's actually a multi-species fishing guide to Lake Vermilion. It's
really?
The one I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was 12, you know, almost 15 years ago now. I had worked for a weekly newspaper up here after I moved here for a few years. And after I went to guiding full-time, the publisher of that newspaper, you know, wanted me to write that book. So I took some time. And, of course, I'd fished Vermilion a lot. And I interviewed other guides and other people on the lake. And so put together that book, and that's still available.
What is the name of that book?
Well, just Lake Vermilion, the multi-species fishing guide to Minnesota's crown jewel.
I'm going to pick it up because I've got a lot of people using the Hunting Shack right now, and the more people we get up there using the Hunting Shack, the better off we're all going to be just being outside. Steve, I'm excited about we're going to meet you tomorrow night for dinner. Get up Tuesday morning, take us out to Trout Lake, and it's going to be a gorgeous day. We're very, very blessed. So thank you for the opportunity to fish with you. I'm looking forward to spending some time with you and seeing Steve and Chris again. All right, buddy?
Yep, my pleasure. Don't forget to eat your Wheaties Tuesday morning.
I will bring my Wheaties, but if you want me to use that auger, I need a bucket, pal. I tried to auger one time. I damn near, yeah. All right, Steve. Steve Foss, thanks for being on the 4-Hour Outdoorsman. We'll see you tomorrow night.
My pleasure. Take care.
You bet, young man. Be right back with Tom Baddock. Fort Francis, Ontario. He's got a few stories for us.
Listen to Total Country Bob FM anytime, anywhere, online at mybobcountry.com.
It's that time of the year, and Devil's Lake is the destination. I'm thinking of fall walleyes in the morning, bird hunting in the afternoon, and a ribeye steak in the evening. Devil's Lake, North Dakota just might be the premier city in the country for multi-species hunting and fishing all in the same trip. Hey, we're blessed to make a couple of trips to Devil's Lake every year. It truly is an outdoor lover's Disney World. Bring your fishing rod, bring your shotgun, bring your golf clubs, bring your family. Visit devilslakend.com.
Call DeZiel Heating and AC when you need dependable, affordable, and professional furnace repair at your West Metro or Wright County home. DeZiel knows the feeling when your furnace goes out during a cold winter day. If you have a unit that's ready to roll over, DeZiel's team of licensed and certified HVAC technicians are here to help. DeZiel's trucks are stocked to repair any furnace system and can get your house warm and cozy again. Suspect a problem? Call the top dog today before your furnace goes out. They will come running to your rescue before it is too late. DeZielHVAC.com.
Mark here, and it's been an honor for us here at the Four Outdoorsmen to partner with Clam Outdoors. We trust Clam with our safety by wearing suits with motion float technology. We use fish traps by the company that started it all, and Clam Pro Tackle is simply the best in the business. Most of all, the pros and employees at Clam have become great friends over the years, and great people make a great company. Visit clamoutdoors.com and join the family.
Arrowhead Outdoors and Ely, Minnesota, a symbiotic relationship. I've patronized both for many years, and I'm going to do so for a lot more. The Minnesota State Northern Pike record was caught right here, and Chris and Steve have day-use fish houses for you to catch those pike, walleyes, crappie, or trout. No one in Ely, Minnesota carries more trout tackle and equipment than Arrowhead Outdoors. Experience the winter wonderland of Ely by starting with, trust Truman on this one, Arrowhead Outdoors.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snowplow dealer. Hinneker's Quick Hitch and Trip Edge systems makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for commercial or residential use. Have a bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Go to crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No jobs are small because we do it all.
Power Lodge and only Power Lodge has teamed up with Financial One for an incredible winter marine sales event. Pick out a qualifying boat or pontoon and there's no payments and free storage until April 2022. Let's get this straight. Pick out a boat now, no payments and free storage until April 2022. Make next summer incredible for you and your family. Go to Power Lodge right now in Ramsey, Brainerd, or Onamia online at powerlodge.com.
Welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen. I'll tell you what. Hey, should we do shout-outs real quick? Not shout-out, but sponsors.
Yeah, let's
because
do
Tom,
it.
Because Tom Baddock's nobody special, man. We can wait.
Oh, Tom is the man.
He can wait for us to talk about sponsors. Devil's Lake Tourism is one of our big, big sponsors for years. We thank you very much for your business. Cats Outdoors. What else we got out there, buddy? Clam.
Power
Clam.
Lodge.
Yep, Cats Covers. Power Lodge. Who else we got? Arrowhead Outdoors. Yeah. We're meeting them soon.
That's enough.
I think that's it.
That's enough. Unless Tom Baddock wants to sponsor the Four
Outdoors.
We need
some new ones for spring.
Yes, we do. Tom, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well. How about you guys?
Every day's a gift. Are you below zero up there right now?
Yes, we are. It was minus 32 Fahrenheit here today.
Man, oh, man. You know, it was about 5 or 10 below last night in the Twin Cities. We have a little warm-up right now. We're getting lucky because Mark and I are going to go fish by Lake Vermilion and near Ely, Minnesota on Monday and Tuesday. And it's going to be 20 degrees or something like that on Tuesday. So we're getting lucky. Then it's going to take another dip on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So 32 degrees is too cold for me. You don't do a whole lot of snowmobiling when it's 32 degrees below zero, do you?
You know what? I used to when I was younger, but as you get older and wiser, you don't do those things anymore.
Isn't that funny? That's the truth. I'm 7 years old, and I'm still learning, young man. Tell us about you. We all know about you guys, but tell our listeners, it's been a long time since you've been on the show. As a matter of fact, you were the first interview that we had 7 years ago when we were doing the ice fishing show at River Center downtown St. Paul. And I fell in love with this job at that time. And your story, what you went through back then, was amazing. We'll touch on that a little bit. But tell us a little bit about your background. What do you do for a career, and all kinds of good things about yourself?
Well, I run an airport for a living in Fort Francis, Ontario, and I'm a part-time fishing guide in the summer months before the pandemic. And I really enjoy the outdoors. I've spent my entire life outside in all the seasons. Winter is my favorite season by far. And, yeah, I like to do everything, snowmobiling, ice fishing, hunting, camping, and the like.
Attaboy.
Tom, it's Mark here. Thanks so much. So you said before the pandemic, so has that shut you down for guiding just because less travel up there, or what's the scoop with that?
Yeah, basically haven't done a guide trip at all since the beginning of March 2020. The last guys I took out were some friends from Iowa on the ice in the beginning of March of 2020, and haven't done a guide trip since.
That's too bad, because I know I tell this story whenever you're on, but I had one of the most memorable trips of my entire life when we went fishing with you. I caught my personal best walleye and smallmouth within about a half hour of each other. It was just an incredible experience with my dad. So I know I've thanked you before, but I just want to thank you so much for that. And you need to start guiding again, because you are very good at it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, that was a very fun trip. And I look back on those photos often and with fond memories.
You know, I'll tell you what.
I really enjoy taking people out.
The only thing that pissed me off, when you took myself, my son Joe, and my buddy Dan Boris, we were fishing for lake trout. This is where we're going to talk. We just got done talking lake trout. And we caught a couple. I don't know how we do. You had the planer boards out, I think, and all that other kind of good stuff. And then we did this, really did a beautiful shore lunch. I mean, it was first class. And it was the potatoes and everything and the fish and the vegetables. And it was so good. And I said, damn, I wish I could have a glass of wine, because I know you can't bring any booze into the Canadian waters. And you said, well, you just can't drink in the boat. You could have some right now if you had some. He said, well, you son of a gun, he never told me that. And I'm thinking, I can just picture it. And it was a phenomenal trip. And I was telling these guys just off the air as well, we're fishing for crappies, and you were using some little, wasn't a shad wrap. What was the little thing we were using when we were trolling? And it's made
by...
I know that
was a Salmo chubby darter.
Yeah, that's what it was. And none of us had ever trolled for crappies. And the first one that Dan Boris caught was about a 4-18 inch, and we went crazy. He said, what's the big deal? We catch them like this all the time up here. And great experience. Yeah, tell you what, I know you are like a first responder as well. You have all kinds of training in that area as well. Even you can screw up sometimes. And you went through something just recently that could literally take in your life and your wife's life if you weren't prepared. Will you tell that story? Because I think our listeners have to hear it, because if it can happen to you, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah, this is true. I shared this story with you earlier today, a newspaper article that I had wrote for the Fort Francis Times after our ordeal in February of 2019. My wife and I bought a cabin property, and it closed in the fall of 2018 in the north arm of Rainy Lake. And it's been a lifelong dream of mine, bucket list item. You've probably seen the posts on social media. I know you and I have been friends for a long time now.
Yep.
And that's so, you know, I snowmobiling for me, done it for 40 years now, 40 seasons of snowmobiling, and really enjoy that aspect of winter, and to have a destination to go to go and stay at and snowmobile from is just been a lifelong dream of mine. So we bought that, and in the winter of 2019, 2018-2019, we got quite a bit of snow that winter, and there was an ice road up the north arm of Rainy Lake that some locals had plowed to cabins on an island called Greyhound Island, which is about 5 miles away from our place. We had a bunch of people out there ice fishing. You know, it was a relatively warm weekend. My wife and I and the kids and our dog rode up on two snowmobiles on Friday afternoon. It was beautiful. We spent the weekend at the cabin playing games and enjoying ourselves. We got about a 7-inch dump of snow Saturday into Sunday, and we had to come back that night on Sunday afternoon. And my wife had lost her cell phone in the cabin. So I was a stickler. I don't like to be on the ice after dark, especially in fresh snow. You don't know what the conditions are and stuff like that. So we don't ever travel after dark. So we were delayed leaving the cabin. And, you know, frantic, my wife needs her cell phone for work and so on and so on. So that was the start of this ordeal. And so anyway, we got a late start leaving the cabin at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we tow a sleigh with our gear, just one sleigh. I carry the dog. We have a yellow lab. She rides in my lap. Her name's Ruby. Absolutely loves the snowmobile. I taught her to ride with me since she was a puppy. And so we get 5 miles away from the cabin by Greyhound Island, and I can see that the conditions are not ideal, not good. There's lots of slush. There's drifting really bad. We had some 40-mile-an-hour winds, and the snow is anywhere from 16 to 25 inches deep on the ice.
What time of the day was this?
It was blowing that day. I was going to say, you know, it was maybe in the 20s, but below zero with the wind chill that day. So,
right. So
you know, not an ideal day to be out snowmobiling and getting into the kind of trouble that we got into. So anyway, at Greyhound Island, when we were riding up there on the Friday, we had seen some people fishing close to the ice road. They had huts set up and things like that. Never even give it a second thought. You know, people out enjoying the outdoors, good for them. Hopefully catching a few walleyes. That's a well-known spot there. But they had drilled holes right beside the ice road. And with the amount of snow that we got, of course, as you guys likely know, traveling on ice yourselves from time to time, that when you drill holes beside an ice road, it brings the water up. The
yep.
water comes up lots.
Sure.
So anyway, we got to the ice road, and I said to my wife, she had been stuck just not too far away towing that sleigh. We managed to get out, and we both run wide track snowmobiles. It's like the best gear you could buy. I bought her a 2019 Expedition SE Skidoo. It's a 20 by 154 track. I myself run a Bearcat 20 by 154 track. You know, big wide track snowmobiles shouldn't have trouble in those kinds of conditions. But we got beside that ice road, and we got into the worst slush I've ever seen in my life. In 40 years of snowmobiling, I've never seen slush that deep. It was to my knees deep. And we got stuck. My wife got stuck first a couple times with the sleigh. I managed to get her out. And I had made the call at that point in time. It was 4 o'clock. We didn't have a whole lot of daylight left. I said, we got to leave the sleigh. We're going to get it to that island, and we're going to leave the sleigh, and I'll come back a couple days later and get it. You know, all that was in there was a cooler and some food. No big loss. We just need to get the heck out of here. And that. So I had jumped the ice road with my snowmobile, and when I did that, I kind of got a little off kilter. And anyway, long story short, I myself got stuck with my sled. And by that time, my wife was starting to panic. My kids were getting cold. My dog had been running around in chest-deep water on the ice. She was getting cold. So we had to make a decision at that point. And that's when I decided to basically abandon the snowmobiles and go for that island that I was talking about putting a sleigh on and make a fire and get everybody warm and come up with a plan. So I carry safety gear with me. Always have an axe, always have a shovel, always have two or three ways to make fire, and I always carry snowshoes. My fatal mistake that day is I only had one set of snowshoes instead of snowshoes for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I put my wife on my snowshoes, and she, along with the kids, walked to the island in snow and slush that was to their knees deep. And I post-holed my way to the island. I wear an insulated rubber boot, so done that for basically as long as I can remember. So my feet didn't get wet. My wife and kids, I was adamant about them always having rubber boots. They were oftentimes hard to find in the sizes for the kids, but we were sure thankful we had them that day because nobody got wet.
So you had to light a fire. I know I heard all about this as well. I read about this. We've got 4 minutes left. You lit the fire. How did you get the snowmobiles out? I mean, this is getting dangerous.
Yeah, it's getting dangerous. So anyway, long story short, we were rescued. I called some friends to come and help us. They got stuck 3/4 of a mile south of us along the ice road. The water had transferred that far down the lake. They were stuck. My one friend has a super wide track skidoo, 24-inch wide, and that's the red snowmobile that I sent the picture to you.
Yeah, right.
That's a 24-inch wide snowmobile track under that by 154. And I cut both those snowmobiles out of the ice 2 days later with a chainsaw.
Wow.
Yeah, they were frozen. So anyway, we were rescued by what's called the OPP Emergency Response Team. And when we decided that was when my friends got stuck, because they were both wearing Sorel boots, not rubber boots. They were standing in water, and there was a real huge risk that their feet were going to get frostbitten. So it took till about 1:30 in the morning for us to get to a cabin. Some people that have since become friends of ours, they opened up a warm cabin to us, and we got off the lake for the night. And then the emergency response team came the next day, and they got us off the lake.
Go ahead. Well, you're extremely experienced, of course, and we talked about a different incident you had many, many years ago as well, but what would you have done differently if you would go to prevent this from happening again?
Well, since this time, I've done lots of things differently. Anytime we go to the cabin now, everybody carries snowshoes for every single person on every single snowmobile. We make sure that I make sure now that I carry a chainsaw. I didn't have that. I only had a handsaw and an axe. And when it's 35, blowing 35 miles an hour, and you got some wind chill there, you want to make as big a fire as you can make.
Yeah.
And a chainsaw is just going to help you do that.
Yeah.
So I carry a small chainsaw now with me. And, other than that, I mean, I was a little gun shy afterwards. I'm not going to lie. 2 days later, riding out there on another snowmobile of ours to go chop those ones out of the ice. My friends had to cut out with a chainsaw. My two snowmobiles, I knew that I wasn't going to get them back, so I banked them in with snow to prevent them from freezing down.
Yeah.
And we went 2 days later, and I put a jackhole on the front and back bumper and popped them free and drove them away. No problem.
That's amazing, my friend. I'll tell you what, I'm glad you're safe. I know you mentioned that the two gentlemen who came to help you first had some issues a little bit after a while because of their feet being in the water and the cold and the snow for so long. I hope they're better. Hope everything turned out well for them as well.
Yeah, you know what? They both survived from it. We all learned some lessons, some very valuable lessons. Winter in the North Country, it can kill you if you're not prepared.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I was prepared. I thought I was prepared, but it turns out that I could have been more prepared. So I do that now.
I think I'm going to pack some more stuff in my bag for now.
Yeah, we're just going to 1 mile. We're just taking a 1 mile portage across a truck portage to go to Trout Lake. So we'll be okay. I can make it
go
back.
Go get the chainsaw, sir.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah, just to put this in perspective, it's a 20-mile ride to my cabin.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's that ain't me, boy. I'll go with you in the summer, Tom. Not in the winter. But hey, Tom, take care of yourself. Take care of your family. You always send nice pictures and stories about your son as well, and the fishing and hunting stories. I have a lot of respect for you. Enjoyed being with you, and hopefully we can get up there again some other time. But be safe, and thanks for sharing the story, because I'm sure a lot of people learned a lesson.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, guys, for having me.
You bet. Have a great 2022, pal.
You bet. All right. I'll take care.
All right. That's about it, I guess. We got to wrap it up. I got to thank Steve Foss, and we're going to see him tomorrow night and go fishing on Tuesday, and we'll report about that next week. And thanks to Tom Baddock. I'll tell you what he's got. I'll share another story next week about him that happened to him last year. It's a lot of fun. Sambo is here. Brandon, myself, thanks for being listeners, everybody. In the meantime, we got to go, and Mark Luke has got something to say.
Get outside and make some memories.